Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to this Wednesday edition of our program. It's great to have you with me. If you were with us on Monday, you know that we've just begun in the last couple of days a series by Derek Prince on What is Truth? And it's answering one of the great philosophical questions of our age and of all ages. The beauty of Scripture and the beauty of how Derek presents this is that what is truth in the Bible is not just a philosophical question, it's a relationship. And this is what we've been dealing with. I'm so glad you're part of it today. We've been learning that truth is never going to be acquired by philosophy, by philosophers, by men reasoning and sitting in academic ivory towers developing ideas, because truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. And truth is not known by reason. He's known by faith. He's known by relationship. When Pilate asked, what is truth, kind of as a man representative of his age, with all of its different religions making different claims as to what truth was, when he said, what is truth, Jesus just stood there and basically said, I'm the truth. Here I am. And so now we understand that we're coming into a relationship by faith with Jesus, who is the truth. And all other truth, all philosophical truth, all propositional truth that might come out of Christianity is on the other side of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now today, we're going to learn fully how to understand and apply this truth in our lives. So let's listen as Derek teaches us about what is truth.
In my previous talks this week, I've pointed out that secular philosophy never has come up with a satisfactory answer to this question, what is truth? On the other hand, although Pilate did not know it, Jesus had actually provided his own answer a little previously in a private conversation with his disciples. It's recorded in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus presented himself as the total, all-sufficient answer. I am the way. You want to know where to go? I'm the way. You want to know what to believe? I'm the truth. You want to know how to live? I am the life. We're focusing particularly on that aspect of the answer of Jesus, I am the truth. Pointed out in my talk yesterday that God's answer to the question, what is truth, is not an abstraction. It's not a definition. It's a person. That's so marvelous. I'm sure few people can appreciate that as I do, because having been a professional philosopher and having tried to find truth in abstractions and in definitions, and having been so frustrated for so many years, when I discovered truth in the person of Jesus, it made my heart sing. It was a release. It was a liberation. So let me say that again. Anything less than a person cannot contain the totality of truth, because personality is a major part of what we encounter in the universe. And anything less than a person cannot satisfy human longings. Well, today I'm going to share with you another way in which Jesus provided an answer to this question, what is truth? And this second answer that Jesus gives is not inconsistent with the first, but it's necessary in order to enable us really to understand fully and apply the first answer. This second answer of Jesus concerning truth is found in a prayer that he prayed that's recorded in John chapter 17, and it's in verse 17. He's praying to the Father for his disciples, and he prays this very simple prayer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus, speaking to God the Father, says, your word is truth. That is, the word of God is truth. Now we need to be very clear as to how Jesus understood the word of God. And again, we can go to his own words. In John chapter 10, verse 35, he's quoting a statement from the book of Psalms, in which it says, I said you are gods. Commenting on that, he says this in John 10:35, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Now, I'm not going into the background of all that. I want to point out only that for Jesus, the Word of God is identical with the scripture. He called them gods to whom the Word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. That tells us two very important things. God's Word is the scripture. And second, the scripture, or God's Word, cannot be broken. It is absolutely authoritative. So we find, putting these two statements of Jesus together, that Jesus is the truth, but God's Word is also the truth. That is the scripture. Now, there's no problem here. But what we need to understand, what's vitally important for us, is that these two always agree. Jesus and the scripture are always in perfect harmony one with another. In fact, one of the great titles of Jesus is the Word, or the Word of God. For example, this is how John's Gospel begins, speaking about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Three times in that opening verse of John's Gospel, Jesus is called the Word. And then in the same chapter of John chapter 1, verse 14, speaking again of Jesus, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth."
You know, the beauty of Jesus as the truth, Jesus as the one with whom we have a relationship, is that then the truth of God's Word comes on the backside of that relationship. First we encounter Jesus, then we encounter the Word of Jesus. And as Jesus prayed in John 17, the Word of God is truth. It's the final answer. This is the beauty of the Christian life, that we know Jesus, and then we know His Word, which is the truth for every area of life. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
It's possible to call yourself a Christian, but never really know Jesus in a personal way. Why? Because too often we learn about Jesus, but never take the right steps to really get to know Him. In his straightforward style and solidly biblical approach, Derek Prince explains how it should be the goal of every single believer to get to know Jesus personally. And because this is such an important goal, we want you to have a copy of Derek's classic audio CD teaching, That I May Know Him, at no charge. Simply request your free copy when you call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Make this your goal, to know Jesus Christ personally. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of That I May Know Him securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad that you're joining me on this Wednesday. If you've been with us, you know that we're in a really transforming series called What is Truth? We've learned that Jesus is the truth. We've learned that once we engage in a relationship with Jesus, we learn that the Bible, or the Word of God, is the truth. And now we're going to learn about the revelation that we need to know the reality of Jesus. Let's listen as Derek teaches us.
So Jesus is the Word. And then right at the end of the New Testament, in the last book, Revelation chapter 19, we have a preview of the appearance of Jesus returning in glory and power at the close of this age. This is how John describes it. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True." This is Jesus. "And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him, which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." His name is called the Word of God. So there he is, the Word of God. The Scripture is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. It's interesting that it says there that no one knows his name except himself. In other words, there's another truth, that only Jesus fully understands the Word of God. He and the Scripture are in total harmony and total agreement. He is the interpretation. He is the fulfillment. He is the answer. The two always agree. Let me point out just one other interesting thing. Almost every one of these scriptures that I've used in answering the question, what is truth, including the scripture that asks the question, are taken from the writings of one man, the Apostle John. It's quite astonishing when you begin to investigate this particular theme of truth, how almost without exception you'll be directed to the writings of John. This was one of John's great themes. And again, I feel so close to him in this respect, because this was for many years my quest. What is truth? And oh, what a joy it is to find a man who shared the same quest and found the same answer in the Apostle John. We've been looking at two answers to the question, what is truth? Both of them given in the Bible. The first answer is, Jesus is the truth. The second answer is, the Word of God, the Scripture, is the truth. Now I want to show you a very important implication of this double answer to the question. I want to show you how it will protect us against deception. I'd like to read a passage in the writings of Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. He's writing to the Christians at Corinth. He says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Paul was very concerned that the Christians at Corinth would not be deceived. He was warning them against deception. And he said, in essence, there are three different but related ways in which you could be deceived. You could begin to believe in another Jesus. You could receive a different spirit than the one you've received. Or you could accept a different gospel. So there's these three possibilities of deception: another Jesus, a different spirit, or a different gospel. How can we be protected against these deceptions? The answer is by the Scripture. We have to bear in mind that the true portrait of Jesus is given in the Scripture. And if we accept the Scripture's portrait of Jesus, we will not be deceived. But I want to warn you that there are many, many people today who are being enticed into believing in another Jesus. Someone that's supposed to be Jesus of Nazareth, but he doesn't answer to the description given in Scripture. So we have to set these two statements side by side. Jesus is the truth, but the Scripture is the truth. What kind of other Jesus are people being enticed to believe in today? Let me give you very briefly three deceptive presentations of Jesus. The first one is a sentimental Jesus. All love and no judgment. God loves you and that's all right and everything goes. That's not what Jesus said at all. In fact, Jesus so strongly believed in the judgment of God that he died to save us from the judgment of God. So that's a false Jesus. A second false Jesus is a kind of Jesus with one foot in the occult and the metaphysical, a kind of super guru who's got a lot of mystical answers. Jesus was very practical, very down to earth, and he set a very definite standard of practical righteousness, purity, and holiness. So this occult version is another Jesus. It's the Scripture that will keep us from being deceived. And then the third picture of Jesus that's come today is a Marxist revolutionary, someone who's going to storm the citadels of the strong and the wealthy and distribute their wealth to the poor. Now, the Bible cares a lot about the poor, but Jesus was not a Marxist. The truth centers in Jesus, but it's in Jesus as attested by Scripture. Can you get that together? Somebody said about that Marxist version of Jesus, it's not a violent revolution we need, but a loving revelation. All right, so Jesus is the truth, the Scripture is the truth, they always agree.
You know, when you consider the number of Christs or the number of Jesuses that are presented in this world, the New Age Jesus, the Marxist Jesus, the sentimental Jesus who's all love and no judgment, the occult Jesus, the Eastern religion Jesus, on and on and on, even the cowboy Jesus, you realize that we need for God, by His Holy Spirit, to reveal the Jesus who is the one who was resurrected from the dead and sits at the right hand of God the Father. That's the one we need to know. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
It's possible to call yourself a Christian, but never really know Jesus in a personal way. Why? Because too often we learn about Jesus, but never take the right steps to really get to know Him. In his straightforward style and solidly biblical approach, Derek Prince explains how it should be the goal of every single believer to get to know Jesus personally. And because this is such an important goal, we want you to have a copy of Derek's classic audio CD teaching, That I May Know Him, at no charge. Simply request your free copy when you call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Make this your goal, to know Jesus Christ personally. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of That I May Know Him securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us today. We're talking about this series called What is Truth? And in the studio with me are two gentlemen who are well able to help me process this. First is the president of Derek Prince Ministries, Dick Leggett. Dick, it's always wonderful to have you here.
Thanks, Stephen. Good to be with you again.
David Holland, one of the producers of our show and scholar, former pastor, a man who really helps us digest these things. Dave, thanks for being here.
Greetings. Thank you.
You know, guys, I just can't get away from how seminal this teaching is for us, and especially in an age that wants to pick and choose its truth. It's, you know, David, you and I were talking about the other day that Jesus is the truth. But when you start to say that the Word of God, the Bible, the words that come out of the mouth of God are the final truth, I'll tell you what, it puts the lie to a great deal of what people believe in our generation.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, tolerance is being exalted above everything in our culture, but the only thing our culture is not prepared to tolerate is somebody who says, this is absolutely right, this is absolutely wrong, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Tolerance is not going to be extended to a person who makes that declaration.
You know, I don't want to try to score points on a tragedy, but at Virginia Tech a few months ago, the horror of that shooting and the dozens who died, you know, it struck me that this young man, this young Korean man by the name of Cho, had gone to counselors, had gone to see a number of people for help, but they were all more given to what I call the religion of psychology than they were to any kind of absolute moral truth.
Sure.
And as a result, they had no moral grid. They had no measuring rod of analysis. And so they simply passed him on to the next counselor, passed him on to the next psychologist, made another appointment for him, but nobody could say there's evil in this man's soul. He's inconsistent with truth. He's inconsistent with an absolute moral vision. There needs to be an intervention. This needs to stop now. Nobody had the grid to give a final analysis, and so everybody was shocked when he behaved the way he did. And yet now we know there was ample evidence. We just didn't have, so to speak, the measuring rod by which to look at his actions and say, this is pure evil. This is going to cost lives.
That's exactly right. I think of it in terms of when you reject God's standards, when you reject the reality of absolute right and wrong, it's like you're trying to push a car on roller skates. You know, you just have nowhere to stand. There's nowhere to get traction. And then you end up with situations like we had at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, David, I think you used a great word there, and that's reality. And it brings to mind the scripture of the Apostle John, who basically wrote and shared based on his firsthand experience with Jesus. And he said in 1 John 1:1, he said, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. And it's interesting that he'd use that phrase, the Word of life, because he was talking about Jesus, but he was talking about him as the Word. And he began his gospel with that whole thing. In the beginning was the Word. So he knew Jesus in a very real way. And he had basically touched Jesus and touched his spirit and knew that this was the real deal. And I think that's what we're really talking about here. People are really looking for something that has authenticity to it. And and it's reality.
You know, in my life, I grew up in a very intellectual environment. My father was a military officer, but very intellectual. My mother was had been raised in the military and was fluent in a number of languages and very, very intellectual. And so we had a lot of intellectuals in our home, a lot of leading people, a lot of PhDs, a lot of big international global type folks. And the thing that always struck me, even before I was a believer, was that I measured everything and every idea that a person espoused by whether it seemed to satisfy them. You know what it's like to be with somebody whom you sense is just not satisfied.
Right.
Call it happy, call it fulfilled, whatever. There's more than just a hole in their soul. There's something there that's aching, that's not fulfilled. You know, if Marxism is true, then Marxists ought to be contented, happy people. Right?
Sure.
It ought to create a utopia. If the New Age movement is true, if Islam is true, whatever is true ought to produce a people who are satisfied. Not a people who aren't working for change or yearning for more. That's not my point. But there ought to be a satisfaction in the soul. And my experience was that all these people who espoused all these philosophies were some of the most unhappy critters I'd ever laid eyes on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I met some Christians who really had a transforming relationship with Jesus that I knew their cup, now I would use biblical language, did run over. They were fulfilled. Rivers of living water did pour out of their insides. And that's the thing that was the measure for me.
Hmm. You know, one thing that I'm thinking as we're talking is that is a continual process. We talk about people who don't know the truth, but those of us who do know the truth, it's incumbent upon us to get to know him better. And I just wonder if we might be able to take some time and just kind of pray for all of us, but especially those who both do not know the truth, but those of us who know the truth. The whole aspect of what John was sharing was, we got to get to know this better. We've got to get to know the truth better and better.
Well, why don't you go ahead and take us there, and then David, why don't you close for us?
Okay.
Great. Father, we recognize in the person of Jesus that you have revealed truth to us. And those of us who have accepted Jesus and who have come to him in faith recognize our need to just get to know him better and better. So, Father, I ask for all those who do not know Jesus that they would come to him now and just simply say, I'm hungry for the truth. Please reveal yourself to me, Jesus, as the truth, as the word. And for those of us who know you, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would give us a deeper and deeper revelation of yourself so that we might be able to respond to you in an increasingly substantive way, that we might be able to say, yes, come into our lives, reveal yourself completely, that the eyes of our heart might be enlightened, that we might know, and especially, Lord, that we might know you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I just add my prayer for every person listening who does know you, Father, that you would make us all, one of those overflowing Christians that Stephen mentioned, one of those people whose life clearly emanates and exudes the reality that it's working, that there's contentment, there's satisfaction, there's joy, there's wholeness. Make us those overflowing people that people like Stephen was look at and say, that works. That must be true. And do that for us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want those of you listening to really consider logging on to the website at derekprince.org. It may sound odd to come right out of a prayer and mention a website, but a website is not just it's not a sales vehicle for us. It's not something that's just about promoting what we do. It's about a place of feeding for you. It's where these truths are presented in a format that you can access over and over again. Guys, thanks for being with me.
No, thank you.
Great, Stephen.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We're going to be dealing with this for the rest of the week, so be with us. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to ask for your free copy of Derek's powerful CD, That I May Know Him. All you need to do is call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Call now and request your free and postage-paid copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your free CD when you visit us online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.